What would it take to arouse your life, to experience more connection, more pleasure, more realness, in and outside of the bedroom? I'm August McLaughlin, and this is Girl Boner Radio.
My name is Pamela Madsen, and I was recently given the name of OG of female pleasure by Condé Nast. That's not my title, though, right?
It's a great one, though. I dig it.
I really love being called OG.
Pamela is also the founder and CEO of Back to the Body Sensuous Retreats for Women, something so far removed from what she learned about sex growing up, which was basically that sex was dangerous.
You know, that I could get pregnant. If I was too sexy, I could be raped.
Pamela was the youngest of three kids. Her sister and brother were a decade and a half older than her.
And so they were all Woodstock and rock and roll and sexual freedom.
And her sister was raped.
And the message to me was my sexuality had power, that it was big. And I had to tap it down.
Or else it would blow up her world. In the midst of so much sexual freedom, Pamela felt fear.
Like, my best friends were having sex at 14 and 15. I wasn't doing that. I had pictures of my father in, like, striped underwear in Rio de Janeiro and being sexy. I came from this very sexy family. And you know what happens sometimes? It's like the opposite of what you would think. So I was surrounded by all this permission to be sexual. But the first time I had sex, I was 19. For my age group, from my people, that was late.
And with the first guy she had sex with, she later tied the knot.
I married him. I met him at 17. I mean, my whole thing was, I will get married. I will make lamb chops and broccoli and make beans. And I will be a good girl.
Pamela's good girl, good in the kitchen wife thing lasted for a couple of decades. Meanwhile, she held her sexuality back, she said.
And it had nothing to do with orgasm or not masturbating, because I've been touching myself since I'm like three. I have memories of having orgasms to music. So it wasn't about like anything being broken. It was about the fear that if I really let myself be fully sexual, that I would somehow destroy my own life.
Honestly, having known Pamela somewhat through the sex ed community, it's hard for me to imagine her holding back. She is so vibrant in her sensuality.
Wow.
What changed that for you? Was it a dramatic happening? How did you get out of these two decades and into your sexual bodaciousness?
Being the OG of female sexuality.
Exactly.
I'm changing the title now.
Exactly.
We just stick with OG.
I love it.
Well, 40 happened. A couple of decades passed. And my girlfriends were all having affairs.
This was not what we would call today ethical non-monogamy. It was full-on cheating. And it was happening all around her. Meanwhile, she stuck to her good girl values, and at the time, she'd also built quite a career. She was working as the successful executive director of the American Fertility Association.
And I was, you know, testifying before the FDA and the CDC and passing laws and wearing suits.
It wasn't like she wasn't having sex with her husband. She had a sex life. It was just that it wasn't exciting like the sex that her philandering friends were having. Pamela wasn't interested in cheating, but the glow her friends had, she wanted some of that.
And there was this realization that I knew really, really early on that it wasn't about my marriage bed, because we did the things. Licky, licky, sucky, sucky, fucky, fucky. But, you know, back in those days when you had kids, you know, we could like get in there and do the deed, happy, you know, grab a cup of coffee. It's all good. Hey, kids, what's your breakfast?
Yeah.
Right? So I'm watching my girlfriends flourish and be alive and turned on.
To Pamela, they seemed like sex goddesses. And it definitely was not just their sex lives she admired.
We know the erotic, when it's alive and present, that it like expands out into your world, right? So like their lasagna was better. How they dressed changed.
It was everything. Eventually, things started to shift toward all of those things for Pamela. She told me that she credits everything positive she's learned about sex to gay men. That all started with a massage at a, quote, hoity-toity health club she had a membership to.
And I had a gay masseur. Well, you know, you get close with people. You go every week.
At one point during her weekly massage, Marcus shared something that made Pamela's jaw drop.
And he's telling me about these like, erotic massages. And I almost knocked him unconscious. Like, I sat right up and I was like, whoa! Whoa. What do you talk about? And he was like, Pamela, there's this thing. They call it sacred intimacy. You don't have to have sex with the people. You go on a massage table and you can explore your eroticism. And it's what keeps me sane in my marriage. And I was like, oh my God. I couldn't get my panties on fast enough to get home and get to my computer and start Googling erotic massage for women. And I can go on. Would you like me to
Yes, I want to, because I'm guessing this leads to a very sexy place I want to hear. Don't leave me hanging here, Pamela. Okay, so it did head to a very sexy place, but the beginning was a little rocky.
Back then, if you were a man, and I mean, you just needed a cock, okay? You could get anything. Gay, straight, bisexual. You wanted Genghis Khan's twin daughters to come give you a blowjob in your hotel? No problem. We'll send them right over. If you were a woman then, there was no back to the body. There was no August. There was no girl boner. But I was determined because this was cool, right? They were going to touch me. I was going to explore my body and have some excitement. I wasn't going to have to touch them. I wasn't going to, like, have sex with these people. No sex.
Yeah.
No sex. I wouldn't be breaking any marriage vows.
She'd be able to stick to her values and commitments, stay faithful to her husband, and explore her eroticism. It seemed like a triple win and then some. But not a single place she found offered these sexy sessions for women.
I couldn't find it. And so what I did was I went to the source. I went to gay men. And I started to, there was a thing then, it was called Men for Men Massage. Start writing to these guys, hi. I was incognito. I was Kate. It's like, hi, I'm Kate. And I've never been touched by anyone but my husband. And do you touch women? Because like, I don't want you to like do anything to me that you wouldn't want to do with a woman. But like, do you know anything about like vaginas? We used the word vagina way back then. And I would write to them and I got all kinds of responses. Like, you know, no. To, oh baby, I could spin you around on my cock. Too advanced.
I just had the most endearing picture in my mind of Pamela frolicking around a house, almost 1950s style, and picking up a phone to hear, oh baby, I could spin you around my cock, and politely responding, thank you, but too advanced. Click. It's just so sweet. Anyway, she did receive some better responses, and she ended up signing up for her first session, which had some surprises. At least I was surprised. It started at the back door, if you know what I mean.
I had my first anal massage on my first experience because the guy knew a lot about anuses.
Oh, wow. Well, that's quite a way to start. Did that feel advanced to you or were you, I'm ready?
You know, I was terrified. He was much older than his picture. Back then, I was like wanting some eye candy or something. So he was much older and not attractive to me. And I remember sitting on that sofa, and he had the massage table set up in his dining room, and it was looming there like a hurricane. Like, how do I leave? How do I get out of this? But he was a darling man and spoke to me and calmed me down, you know, started giving me massages. And he was like, you know, I don't know that much really about vulvas, but would you be open to experiencing an anal massage? And I was like, sure. Right? It was lovely, by the way.
Oh, good.
And then I went to another and another, and then developed a professional relationship with a man who has passed away. His name was Marcus Tantric Tiger, another bisexual gay man. And he really nurtured me. He exposed me to other resources and other teachers, and exposed me to sexological bodywork and took me to a training and opened a world for me. It was through erotic massage, somatic therapy, sexological bodywork that I became literally like an icon in my own life without, at that point in my life, having other lovers. It was my healing journey. I had an eating disorder. It like stopped almost immediately.
Wow.
Therapy didn't stop it. Nothing. I think my body wanted something it wasn't getting. Because I think, August, sometimes we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah, it's so true. My journey was similar in a lot of ways. I was in therapy for an eating disorder. Nothing was helping until I started talking about sex and getting curious about sex and then exploring. The moment that I went, oh my gosh, I had this huge epiphany about sex. Why had I never talked about it? Like, why didn't I even talk to my partner who I was having sex with about it? So I know that feeling because it clicked a switch in me. And it didn't totally stop my eating disorder, but it definitely was the moment that I stopped wanting to brutalize my body. And the way you said, I didn't know what my body wanted.
Yeah.
You get it. That's exactly what it was.
My body wanted impact play. My body wanted like big releases. My body wanted the slap and the deep feelings. And it also helped with body dysmorphia because I could see an image, which I'd have judgment about. But when I could feel my curves under his hands, I could feel my beauty. I got friendly with my body. You know, I became compassionate towards my body. And I could feel the actual beauty of me through feeling. And then eventually, over time, that translated to the mirror.
Feeling physically good in her body gradually allowed her to see her physical worth and beauty, the type we all inherently have. And the release she said she got from her eating disorder in unhealthy ways started coming from spanking and orgasms instead. Sexy playfulness. All on that spicy massage table. That's incredible. That's incredible. So you were on this journey, it sounds like, with your own self through this. How did that impact your marriage?
Well, the first 6 months I didn't tell. Because, you know, honestly, I didn't know what I was doing. And maybe it was kind of fun to have dark chocolate.
A sexy secret.
That was mine.
Plus, she figured she wasn't breaking any rules. Marcus was a professional. He was gay, and only Pamela got naked. But there was another reason she did not spill that tea right away.
Marcus really had me open up to my fantasies. I mean, he was the first person I told about spanking. You know, this is before 50 Shades of Grey, folks. I did have a lot of role models. And so it was kind of hard telling him.
At a certain point, she felt the need to. So she took a deep breath and she told her husband exactly what she'd been up to.
And I asked him if he wanted to meet Marcus and if he'd want to come have a session. And he said, okay. And he came. And we put him on the table, and Marcus and I gave him an erotic massage. He enjoyed it. And he said, okay, babe, I've got it. Have fun. This is not for me.
Now, Pamela said, she officially had her hall pass, which would soon expand further as conversations between the couple continued.
And I started to share with him a little bit around my interest in impact play and sensation play. He wasn't very interested. Like, we had an incongruent desire. And so we kind of like made kind of a deal that I could have a dom outside of the marriage.
Pamela continues to practice DS, dominance and submission, outside of her marriage, and have fun doing other things with her husband that they both enjoy within it. And she wants more folks to realize that such dynamics are possible.
You know, I think it's really important for people to know that you can still be together and not be on the same journey all the time. For those out there who have congruent desire as opposed to non-congruent desire, lucky you. My husband's a sailor. He's into knots. Like, why doesn't he tie me up? But he doesn't. You know what they say? Don't go to the hardware store for milk.
Pamela definitely doesn't. And she considers herself very lucky to have such a supportive partner, one she deeply respects and raised two sons with. They have a special marriage and bond that's probably, I would think, strengthened by Pamela nurturing her own sexuality. And nurture it, she does. When she thinks about her erotic journey, looking back and all of her orgasmic and pleasure experiences in her life, a few things really stand out. One goes way back to the time she discovered erotic trance state at a very young age.
Before I knew about spanking and porn and erotica and Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty, the Anne Rice erotic trilogy, that is. Pamela found herself in a sexy trance of her own.
It was a very pure state, an orgasmic state with music.
Today, her sex trances are a bit different.
What I crave more than the orgasm is really expanded arousal. I can be on the table for 2 hours, really having almost psychedelic experiences. I can wear a blindfold. I'm not taking care of anybody. Someone's taking care of me. That's super hot for me. You know, I sometimes think, August, that we have the words wrong. Like, a lot of women who don't think they're orgasmic actually are having orgasm. They're having expanded arousal and peaks. They're not having the big climax. They're going up and down and up and down in pleasure. And so we can help women lose the story that they're not orgasmic. Honey, if you're feeling your vulva and you're having pleasure and you're going, ho, ho, like you're in your breath and sound and movement and it feels good down there, you're orgasmic. Maybe you're not having a big climax. If I had to trade the big climax for 90 minutes of, oh my God, I would do that.
If you would like to explore rope play, it's the perfect time to check out the Bondage and Restraints collection at The Pleasure Chest. It features their best-selling BDSM gear, including vegan leather bondage straps. They will also keep you on the cutting edge of BDSM restraints with comfy sex cuffs, kinky collars, under-bed restraints, and beginning to advanced bondage toys. Check it all out and stock up on lube while you're at it at thepleasurechest.com. Again, that's The Pleasure Chest at thepleasurechest.com. Another experience Pamela described as big and hot in her life involved early DS explorations in public.
Back in my day in San Francisco, there was a place called the Citadel. It was a public play space, and you needed to be a member.
Her dom at the time, Dark Knight Brian, would take her there.
And we would play and have sex in public. Here I was, like the perpetual virgin, right? And I remember there was one scene where I was bent over what they call a spanking bench. DK Brian was behind me, and he was really long. He was so tall and had long arms, and he was having sex with me and flogging me at the same time.
Nearby, from another bench, people watched.
And I remember thinking, okay, Pamela, if you die from too much excitement, Dark Knight's going to need to, like, put a note on you. Like, this is Pamela, call her husband, and, like, just wheel me into, like, a bus station or something. So that was, like, a really big experience for me, too, was that discovery that I like public play, and I don't like DS without the erotic.
Lots of people enjoy DS play without any sex involved. I have a friend whose submissive literally runs errands for her, and that's kind of basically it. That is not Pamela. She wants the whole shebang. That's not to say that her life outside of sex wasn't touched by these exploits. In fact,
unleashing my sexuality did change my life. And it blew up my life for a little while. When you do these deep journeys and these deep dives, you're going to be different. Life will be different. What you want will be different. Some people will approve. You'll make new friends. Some friends will leave. I changed careers. I left an incredibly big, important, visible career. And I left that to devote my life to this because this is where I really met me.
If you are yearning for similar growth and discovery in your sex life, or you just want to figure out what really turns you on in the first place, Pamela suggests easing in.
Not too much, not too fast.
Don't just dive right in.
That's like really important. Like, I took my time in this. I spent a year with Marcus. It took me a long time to say the word spanking. It wasn't like an overnight thing. Becoming sexually empowered is a practice. And you're not going to be dancing at the Citadel on day one. And if you do, it may not be the best experience of your life. You know, I started out really rather slow. Step by step, sex is a practice. People hate that. They hate this idea that they actually have to like learn to play their own violin. But you do. And know that you're not alone in not knowing, because we're not taught this. Find a place where you can taste the buffet in a really safe way. You know, it's hard, August. People want this always to be their partner. It's not always your partner. For me, it was really important to find a space where it could just be about my body and it could just be about what my desires were, to figure that out. You know, the company I run, Back to the Body, is not back to the partner. It's back to your body. And so be gentle with yourself. Go slow, find your practitioners, and take your time. Don't gulp your meals. Chew your food. Let it digest. Like, what do I have a reaction to this? What is it stimulating? Is it good or do I have a rash, right? And honey, I'm still on the journey.
I love that.
Do you think you'll always be discovering new things about your sexuality?
Absolutely. And then taking it out into the world, sharing it with other women.
As we speak, Pamela is off the coast of Panama, hosting an erotic trance retreat for women, inspired by her earliest experience.
Because, you know, I want that, everyone to have that 5-year-old experience.
If, like me, you are not on an exotic island with the OG of female sexuality right now, you can still partake.
I want that. I was trying to think if I've experienced that or not. Self-pleasure is such a passion of mine, and I didn't engage until age 30. That journey for me has been the most powerful sexual journey I've ever had. And I was trying to think, I don't know if I have. Maybe I need that workshop.
You might. You know what you can also do to enhance that possibility for yourself?
Yeah.
Is use a blindfold even in self-pleasure.
Oh.
Find some music that you like instead of a story. We all have our spank banks, right? Like, I have my special things that I like to look at on my phone, that special page in the book. That's going to get me off, okay? Like, so I could go rub one off in 3 minutes. That's not the meal I'm looking for. Well, sometimes, maybe once a week. But trance state and expanded arousal is its own meal, and it's not role play. It's not that. So sex is a buffet. I could be the little submissive, and I can be kind of dominant, and I can want to be tied up and have multiple hot orgasms. And I also like erotic trance state. And to have erotic trance state, I can't use any of those skills. I need a blindfold. Don't tell me to breathe because you can screw it up for me. Because it's really a meditation. It's an orgasmic meditative state. And so music without words and whatever you like, however you like to touch yourself with whatever toys you like to use. And then just go deep in you and explore that. You know, many people know the term edging. You're not going for the cum. You're not going for the climax. You can have it, but spend some time in peeking and you'll find it. And you don't need necessarily a guide to do that.
Pamela's company, Back to the Body, offers free consultations with female sexologists and psychotherapists.
Talk to them for free for an hour and see what might be right for you.
On the company's site, backtothebody.org, you can also take a pleasure quiz and check out the sensual retreats. If you attend one, she said, you can expect some proven perks.
What I'm the most proud of, August, is that we have a study, that we have data. You know, we just published. It's like 45 pages. Touch works. Touch heals. We have data to prove it. You'll feel better about your vulva. You'll feel better about your body. You'll feel better about other women. You'll feel better about knowing your desires. You'll start to initiate sex. And you start with your body. You're like, you want to get back to your body? Bring your body. It's really not that hard. And I know it's hard for people to like make the call, but you know that at the other end of the line, there's a woman who's been on the journey. And I think that's really important.
Huge. Have you thought about what that would have been like for you?
Oh my God.
To meet someone, to connect and say, I don't know what's
so
up with
much.
My sexuality. Yeah.
So much. I mean, as it was, I had my girlfriends waiting outside. But I would go to meet somebody for the first time and I was terrified. I was sort of like, you know, when you see penguins, they show it on National Geographic. They're all at the edge of the ocean and they're pushing and they need one guy to go in to see if the killer whale is going to eat them. I was that penguin. Aww. I was that penguin. And so, yeah. To find a group of penguins that are not going to push you, but who are going to stand beside you and who's going to say, you know what? I've been in the water and the water's really good. And no whale is going to eat you unless that's a fantasy and then we can work on that.
If you discover that's what your kink is, then we'll find a way.
Right, right. But, you know, it's really nice to know that boundaries are the boundaries.
And at the Back to the Body retreats, those boundaries are held by women through experiences that Pamela says she still yearns for herself.
I create all this pleasure for other women. And sometimes I wish I could just be one of them. A lot of our female sexologists have all been to a retreat, but they're dying to go to another one. They need the work. You don't have to have trauma. Yeah, you can have trauma. We'll work with that. We'll work with all the things. But I think sometimes women think they have to be broken and in pain to spend money on themselves and give themselves time to get the hall pass. And so I'm just going to give everybody a hall pass. And if you're just like I was, I wanted to be a sex goddess too. I wanted to explore. I wanted to know what I didn't know. That's available too. And I don't think I'm ever going to stop. This is my nutrition. This is what keeps me well. This is what keeps me beautiful. This is what keeps me shiny. And it's what keeps me married.
Pamela told me she hopes that one day, sexological bodywork will be broadly available in shopping malls, on street corners, and as accessible as a yoga class. Imagine if health insurance covered it. Maybe someday. If you're enjoying Girl Boner Radio, make sure you've hit the follow button on your favorite podcast app, and please do give it a rating or review. I would also love it if you would share links with your friends. Thank you so much for listening.